Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you. Thank you for joining us today. We always like spending time with you, and we hope you feel the same way we do. We've got some interesting topics to talk about today, mainly election integrity, election fraud, stolen elections, however you want to label it. It's going to be about the elections. And, you know, this past weekend, the Arizona audit was supposed to be complete, and we were told that we would probably get results of that on Monday. But I haven't heard anything yet.
No, it's gone quiet.
So we're going to talk about what we do know. And first, let me introduce our panel tonight. We've got Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Mary is rightwinggranny.com, and she's always got good information on that blog. We've got Pete Benton.
Buenas noches. ¿Cómo estás?
We've got Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there.
And we've got Doug Gould, cybersecurity expert, and he's got quite a list of credentials on that, and maybe he'll get into it a little later. We also have Major Dave Getz on the telephone. Major Dave is retired Army, and he has been investigating the election results in North Carolina for the past several elections. And what he does is he collects the data that is uploaded to the State Board of Elections website. He collects it daily, so as the data changes over a period of time, he has each day's data.
Rick, you neglected to say the certified data
certified
changes.
Data changes. And you wonder why would it still be changing? Well, we wonder why too, and Major Dave's going to shine some light on that for us. So welcome, Major Dave.
Well, good evening, Rick. It's good to be back with you.
We're glad to have you here too.
All right. Well, like I said, we heard that Arizona had completed their audit. The other news that has come out in the last couple of days is Mike Lindell.
Yes.
The MyPillow guy. Is announcing that he is going to have a cybersecurity symposium, and he's going to be calling together all the experts, all the cybersecurity experts and certified cybersecurity experts. He's going to have the ones that actually captured packets of data as they were coming across the internet and can show how China interfered with the election, how China switched votes, and how China, actually it's an act of war by China against our country.
I just want to mention that this problem is not limited to national elections. New York City had a primary election a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden, 100,000 votes just showed up on the Democrat side in the Democrat primary. Now, the interesting part of that, the Republican candidate is Curtis Sliwa, who is the founder of the Guardian Angels, very much a law and order candidate. And the Democrat who was leading at this point is Eric Adams, who was also a law and order candidate. And all of a sudden, 100,000 votes showed up. They don't know, they're not saying where the votes came from. There is one story that says that they were doing some trial voting to see how it was going to work, and somehow those votes got mixed in with the regular votes. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the outcome is. And the election was last Tuesday, and they're talking about they won't know the results until July. That's insane.
Well, tomorrow is July.
It's still insane.
Rick, I'd like to mention that you're talking about Mike Lindell's, what does he call it, a symposium he's going to have on intelligence. Right here we've got Doug Gould. And Doug is an expert. I want to read some of his qualifications, if you don't mind. He says that CISSP, and Doug might have to tell us what that stands for, but if what it requires is 5 years experience in security, recommendations from practitioners in the field, and comprehensive knowledge in 8 different dominions of security, plus passage of a 6-hour professional board exam. The book, the body of knowledge about that, is 1,200 pages and is one of about 30 graduate textbooks one must study to master the field. Doug received his CISSP in the late 90s. Has been an instructor teaching material since that time. He's a certified anti-terror specialist, certified by the Anti-Terrorism Accreditation Board. And he's also among his other qualifications. He pioneered in the field of computer forensics while at Bell Telephone Laboratories with Fred Gramp and other authors of Unix. He's a chief security officer for the World Institute for Security Enhancement, chief cybersecurity strategist for the AT&T unit until I retire from AT&T, and currently is the chief technical advisor for Cyber Team US. So he's trying to get to Mike Lindell's conference. That's what I was trying to get around to say. Mike Lindell expects to have about 5,000 of these experts to gather together in one place. And Doug Gould, and I sure wish him luck with it, because he certainly got all the qualifications, and I hope he makes it to that. Doug, you want to comment on it at all?
I'm just looking forward to getting a few questions answered. So what, you know, in all the talks I've been doing with people all around the country, one of the things that I've been saying is that we have a lot of information about this election, but the difference between information and evidence is that with evidence we can certify where the information came from, who collected it, how it was collected. We can certify that it hasn't been altered, and we can show a chain of custody. So that those are the elements that are necessary to turn that information into evidence. And I've seen a lot of information about election fraud, and it certainly does look like this country was overtaken by China in a blatant act of war. But I'm not at the point where I can testify as an expert in court that that's what happened. And I would like to change that. I'd like to be in a position where I'm able to do that. So I've got to get a few questions answered, and then we will know for certain whether or not that's the case. Interestingly, if it were an act of war by a foreign country, that is the one message that would unite the entire United States. Absolutely. And our adversaries have been trying to divide us as hard as they could, and that's one of the exciting reasons that it would be valuable to figure that out.
I agree. Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll get right back to this after that break.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion. and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been talking about the cybersecurity aspect of looking into this vast election in 2020. And as I mentioned, Mike Lindell is putting on this cybersecurity symposium. He's going to announce the venue and the actual date. It's sometime in August, but he's hoping to announce all that on July 4th, I believe. So we're waiting to hear some more about those details. And Doug is trying to get in touch with him to see if he can get on that panel also. Doug, I mentioned that Mike Lindell said he has, I think it is three individuals that were actually tapped in online, intercepting the actual packets that were flowing back and forth between the U.S. and China. And they can tell when, where, who, right down to the computer serial number, tracking through IP addresses and things like that. You are a cybersecurity expert. You've worked in the forensics field on cybersecurity issues. Tell us exactly what that means when they say they have the packets.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That's something I've given some thought about. So when we send computer information across the internet, that information is encoded in a certain way. The letters of the English alphabet are represented by binary numbers, so when you're sending an email or writing a paper or so forth, those binary numbers are actually what is stored inside the computer. But there is a code called the American Standard, American Standard Code for Information Interchange, or ASCII, that tells us how each number relates to a letter or a punctuation symbol and so forth. Likewise, when we put together a message, on the internet, we can send email, we can do telephone calls, we can do video chat, we can do all kinds of different things. Each one of these different things requires communicating in a certain way. So there's a certain order to which the information is sent. You know, the sender says, hello. The receiver says, hello, I got it. The sender then says, let's open a connection for this and so forth. And those are called protocols. So those are all grouped in chunks of data. I'm going to call them chunks so that everybody can understand it. And we call those chunks packets. The packets have certain sizes, and what size they are depends on what protocol they are, what the process is for saying, hello, hello, how are you doing today? I'm doing fine. And just like in a conversation, we have a protocol for when we call a friend. You know, we usually say hello first. And so on the computer, you know, the sender identifies itself to the receiver and identifies what it wants to do and so forth. That's what a protocol is. And all of that is bundled in a series of packets.
And all that's handled digitally in the background. You're totally unaware of it. It's all automatic.
That's right. But there's a set of binary data that is transmitted across the internet. And if we effectively tap a pair of wires with the right piece of equipment, we can see all that data. And when I say tap a pair of wires, I'm not talking about a wire tap as defined in the federal law, which would be illegal to do without a warrant. These data transit across the internet. Everybody's data goes across the internet. And if it's not encrypted, we can decode what it is. So what these packet captures or PCAPs are a set of binary data that follows a certain set of rules for communication, for whether it's video chat or audio or an email or a document. And the protocol says, it tells us where to look in that set of data, how many bytes down is the header and where the title is and where the to and the from are and in the email address and all that sort of stuff. So when we look at that data, we've got a standard that tells us what each part of the data mean, and we simply look at it and decode it based on that.
Right.
And then there's software that does that for us as well. But, I mean, part of the forensic element is to look at the actual data and confirm that the software's telling us the right answer.
Right. And some of the information included in those packets is machine-specific. Each computer device that is manufactured has a unique code, a unique identifier. And also, it has a IP address when it connects to the internet. You're issued an IP, Internet Protocol address. And so all that information can be analyzed, and you can tell who issued the IP address, what internet provider or whatever, where it's located at, and whose machine, because it'll give you the machine's ID number along with the IP address. So you can narrow it right down to Joe Blow when sitting in such and such a city and such a country is the one that was sending or receiving this information. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. And just to amplify on that a little bit, it does not require a forensic expert to do this. This is something that standard computer network administrators do every single day, because in that role, we're trying to make sure that the networks work. So,
right.
You know, a big company A to big company B are trying to communicate and they're having some trouble and things aren't working right. That's when a network engineer looks at those packets and looks at the protocol and says, you're missing a piece of information. They plug it in, now it works.
And folks, just for the record, I'm a retired IT specialist. I worked for the government for 32 and a half years, so I have some background myself in that. And when I talk about the unique IDs, it's called a MAC address that's embedded in the hardware in each machine. So you can't change that. It's not something that's programmed in and you can go in and change it. It's hardwired into the actual chips in the machine. Now, the IP address, on the other hand, you do have some flexibility there, because if you route yourself through a VPN, a virtual private network, then your actual IP address won't show up. And that's why you're hearing so much today about get this VPN or that VPN to protect your own data at home, which is good advice, that and a firewall. And that's for a later discussion. But anyway, these folks were transmitting this data back and forth freely on the internet, and it was intercepted and archived, and I forgot now how many thousands, it was hundreds of thousands of records that they collected, and they will be presenting this evidence at the symposium. Now, Major Dave, you have a different tack that you are using for analyzing the North Carolina elections. It doesn't have anything to do with intercepting packets or anything on the internet. What it does have to do with is analyzing the data that the local boards of election have uploaded to Raleigh, to the State Board of Election, and then the State Board of Election posts those files online as public record. And you then download and save those files. And you've been doing that on a daily basis ever since the election back in November. Tell us what you have discovered and found.
Well, first I want to say it's an honor to finally hear Doug Gould speak. I've heard his name many times. And, of course, his expertise far exceeds mine. But the one thing I want your audience to understand, Rick, that what I do is so very simple that a first semester community college student should be able to import text into a spreadsheet, sort it, and count it, or look at two lines and say, well, this line is different from that line. It's not rocket science. But the good thing, because Doug mentioned a very important point, if this ever makes it into court, we're going to have to prove where I got my files and that they've not been altered. And one of the things that helps us out greatly is that the files I downloaded are compressed zip files. So when I decompress that downloaded file, that original file does not change. I could sit there in court and unzip that same file and reproduce everything I've done so that they could actually see how I do what I do. Now, to give you an example of some of the things that it's helped me to find, I can show you two voters, one a voter in Mecklenburg County and one a voter in Durham County. Now, they both voted in Robeson County, but their registration was never changed. What changed in that data file after the canvass was they changed the temporary voter ID number given to them by Robeson County back to the number they had in Mecklenburg and Durham counties. That's how easy it is to fabricate these records. They simply switched the voter ID number. And Rick, it's almost like saying on one day that you voted that ballot, but then the next day saying that I voted that ballot.
Well, disgusting.
And these changes are taking place in the data after the canvass when the protest window has ended. So, because you only have 10 days typically to protest a ballot like that, and the evidence that shows the data manipulation doesn't appear in the record, in some cases like these two guys, until after the Thanksgiving holidays. And it was the first week of December. And to make it even worse, they let Pitt County and Stokes County amend their data on February 3rd of this year, almost 2 months after the election has been certified as final. For some unknown reason, they allow two counties to make amended uploads, and they have not updated the data file since then so that we can see what data was changed or whether or not it might have had any impact on the outcome of any of the races on the ballot.
So basically what you're telling us, Dave, is that somebody that has access to the databases, the systems in Raleigh at the Board of Elections is uploading new files on a regular basis. And the first clue you get is the file sizes don't match, which is a indicator that, hey, something has changed here. Am I correct there?
That can be one indicator, but it's not so much the file size, but it's the actual data that changes. If I change an address from one address to the other, that may not have much of an impact on the overall file size, because the number of bits and bytes of data making up that record are still going to be pretty much close to the same.
Right.
Unless you were doing it for tens of thousands of records at a time. But there's no indication of that. But what I look for is I append each of these daily files with an additional field at the start, which is the date of that file. And so then once I can merge them all together, I can sort any voter's data by report date and see how that voter's data changed. And we saw tens of thousands of new ballots from one-stop voting during early voting that did not appear in the record until after Election Day. And the strangest thing was, there are two ballots for each voter, and they both say conflict. And then after the canvas, and in some cases, again, even after Thanksgiving, mysteriously, one of them all of a sudden changes to accepted, and the other either canceled, wrong voter, or duplicate. Something innocuous like that. But what's really weird is that some of these voters actually initially had a single ballot reported for them as having been cast at one stop. And then all of a sudden that one accepted ballot disappears, and then these two conflicts show up, and it is just something that doesn't make sense. And I have talked to directors of elections in a half a dozen counties and members of county boards of elections, and they say there's no way that this is a legitimate result of the normal course of events in processing ballots.
So have you talked directly with the State Board of Elections? Have they given you any answers on why you're seeing these results?
No. Let me correct myself. I was in Raleigh a week ago Wednesday, just 1 week ago, when two members of the State Board staff were there. This was part of the handout that I made available to the members of the House Freedom Caucus, and we discussed it briefly. But they had just concluded an inspection of several of the ES&S machines that we use in North Carolina, and the focus of their conversation really was on that meeting. So the short answer is yes, but not in any real detail. Mm-hmm. It's something that I do expect that I will be pursuing with them at some subsequent meeting of the Freedom Caucus.
Okay, I was going to bring that up next. I do understand that you were invited to meet and present to the Freedom Caucus your results of the data that you've collected. How did that meeting go?
I've actually been to Raleigh twice. The first meeting, there was no one from the State Board there. I was able to present in a sufficient level of detail samples of the different type of ballot irregularities that I find. I was able to make the case that we do need a forensic audit, but I believe it is best that we start with one or two small counties. One, because these two particular counties have what I consider an extraordinarily high number of data irregularities like these voters from different counties. And it would be very inexpensive to do. And then we can use the outcome of those audits to determine or to use that as justification to seek a much broader audit across the state.
Sounds good. All right, well, we need to take another quick break here to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with Major Dave and Doug Gold in just a moment.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And again, we have Major Dave Getz with us and Doug Gould. Both are involved in investigating the elections and the integrity of the elections. And Doug, can you elaborate a little bit more on what are your feelings on the national level about the information that you've accumulated evidence-wise as far as what's going? Well, I know you haven't seen the actual evidence, and that's what you're trying to do, but the reports of what China's involvement was.
Well, I think for the average person, it's very difficult to differentiate what's going on here. We've all heard reports on mainstream media that, you know, our voting machines aren't connected to the internet. And so I want to help all of our listeners understand that and clear up a little bit of the misinformation. The things that are not connected to the internet are the ballot counting machines. And further as evidence of this, I mean, if we didn't have our vote data on the internet, just think about it, folks. There is no way that CNN would be able to tell you how many votes are coming in by precinct, minute by minute. They get that data from somewhere. It should be obvious to the dumbest cookie on this planet that they're getting the data from the precincts where the votes are happening. So why are they telling you this story? Well, the election management, the election manufacturers, the election equipment manufacturers don't want to admit what they've done. So they call our ballot counting devices voting machines, and they call the rest of the system an election management system. And so while the ballot counters are not connected to the internet, the election management systems absolutely are. It is how the data gets from the precinct to the county tabulation centers, how it gets from the county tabulation centers to the state. And, you know, Major Dave mentioned ES&S as one of the manufacturers. ES&S is headquartered in Barcelona, Spain, and they have a subsidiary called Clarity Election Night Reporting. There are 26 states that subscribe to Clarity Election Night Reporting, and every county in those 26 states logs in to Clarity Election Night Reporting as many times during the night and uploads their data. And Clarity aggregates all that information, and they sell it to NBC, CBS, MSNBC, ABC, all the networks. They all get it from Clarity. That's where it comes from. And one of Mike Lindell's first videos, and again, I apologize for all the heavy computer speak that you're hearing on his presentations. There's an expert on there who's talking about, you know, what they found and this and that and the other, and he was looking at the S3, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. An S3 is a storage subsystem used in Amazon Web Services. Clarity Election Night Reporting is storing the actual live vote data from the United States in real time as the election is occurring. They're storing it in the cloud on Amazon Web Services. Not only that, the location of the server is in Frankfurt, Germany.
All right.
And a white hat audit of that server found out that there was a piece of malware called QSnatch, which captures access credentials. That is, it gets your password and your user ID. And this piece of malware captured the credentials of every county in every one of the 26 states. Now, these guys are white hat hackers. That means they don't break the law in what they're doing, and they couldn't go farther without breaking laws to understand who is actually receiving the data. But if Mike Lindell's data is correct, we see thousands and thousands of accesses from China going directly to these voting machines. And people, that's where they got the passwords from. They put the malware up there where we're storing the data. And as each of our election precincts logged in to upload their data, this piece of software captured it, and it went right to the Chinese. And the Chinese used that effectively to follow the channel, the same communications path backwards, and log into the voting systems.
Wow.
And so this is what the data is showing, is that the Chinese logged into voting systems and changed the vote. And again, that's information that I haven't certified to be accurate, but that's one of the things that I want to do. If that's accurate, then we have got proof positive of an act of war by a foreign country. And I believe we've been at war with China for quite some time, well over a year. The cyber attacks that have happened against this country are numerous. They've been going on for decades. And, politicians and the media don't want you to know that your government has been raided and information stolen for decades. But if you question that, just go look up Operation Titan Rain. It happened almost 20 years ago. And more than 40 terabytes of data were stolen from the Department of Defense over an extended period of time in a hack that was so well done that it wasn't discovered for many years. So, I mean, this is not new.
No. And I'd also like for our listeners to know this election theft process is not new either. A number of third world countries have been down this road. It's been proven. They've used the same type of systems, the same type of methods that they've used here, and totally stolen the elections in a number of countries throughout the world there. So it's not a new thing. It's not something that you can sit back and say, oh, they can't do that. They can do it. It's been done time and time again.
Well, let me just add to that. I mean, I would like to ask our listeners to not trust us, but to go research this and find out for yourself.
So let me
tell you where you find out. There's a website called defendingtherepublic.org. It is Sidney Powell's website, and on that website contains the full content of the Supreme Court lawsuits filed in four different states. Go to the Arizona lawsuit and download the exhibits, the combined exhibits file. Look at exhibit number one. It is an affidavit of a Marine guard in Venezuela under Cesar Chavez, who talks about how Smartmatic designed the software. And I'm going to quote here. He wanted the software itself to function in such a manner that if the voter were to place their thumbprint or fingerprint on a scanner, that the thumbprint would be tied to the record of the voter's name and identity having voted, but the voter would not be tracked to the changed vote. He made it clear that the system would have to be set up to not leave any evidence of the changed vote for a specific voter, and that there would be no evidence to show and nothing to contradict that the name or the fingerprint or thumbprint was going with a changed vote. This has been done in Venezuela. This affidavit further testifies to two elections where it actually was done. folks, we're not talking about speculation. We're talking about history. Right. This has already been done and done a long time ago, like you said, Rick. So it's out there.
And
look
folks,
it up.
You will hear on mainstream media that this is all conspiracy theories. But Doug just told you where to go. And this is public record you're looking at. It's not something that Sidney Powell made up and wrote or that Doug invented. These are actual public records that you can download and look at. It's just like with the coronavirus thing, people talking about there's patents on the coronavirus and all that, and other people say, oh, some more of that conspiracy theory stuff. Well, no. You have access to go online to the U.S. Patent Office and just do a search on COVID, and you'll see there are hundreds of patents on these viruses out there. Why would somebody be patenting a virus? They're making money off of it. So, folks, Doug, you brought up a good point. Don't trust us. Don't believe what we're telling you. We're just trying to steer you in the right direction so you can find out for yourself. And like with Major Dave, his data is coming straight off the state of North Carolina Election Board's website. It's public information. You can download the same files that he's downloading, and you can look at them just like he is.
I want to add that going to the NCSBE, which is the State Board of Elections.gov site, if you go to their data download, like I'm downloading the NC voter data for my county, the zip thing, it is physically located on https://s3.amazonaws.com.
Like Doug said, on Amazon servers. Yes, Dave.
I was just going to say that because when I was doing the 2016 election in February of 2017, I noticed all of the files available all of a sudden, and this is for all the past elections, going back to 2006, the date last modified for those files all said February 2017. And they told me, oh, that's because we migrated all of our files to the Amazon web server. Now, I don't know why they did that, simply because it could not have been a cost-benefit arrangement, because, you know, the state of North Carolina can certainly afford its own computer servers and storage space. And what he said tonight really makes sense, because that means that they did it so that they could participate with the media in getting the numbers out so rapidly on election night.
And if they
did that, then even what he just said, what I've downloaded, came off that server in Frankfort.
And there was a downside to that for them also, if people will remember. If you were watching the results, especially on CNN, you saw the numbers change live in real time. The votes just swapped. All of a sudden, great numbers of them changed, shifted from one candidate to the other. And that was live stream right from the internet, right from those servers to your TV, and you could see it yourself. And it's also archived out there on YouTube and other various places. If you didn't see it live, you can go back and see it now. All right, well, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade.
And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Pond, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, I hope you're gaining some knowledge from what we're sharing with you today. You know, I mentioned about the patents on COVID-19, and Doug has come prepared. He's got a book here, COVID-19, Anthony Fauci Dossier. And what did you say? Was it contained in that?
Well, this book contains a list it opens with the first 30, 40 pages talking about 10 major felony charges against Fauci and his conspirators. But there are 179 pages listing in a very succinct table. So there are about 50 entries a page, 179 pages of all the patents related to the coronavirus, the vaccine, all the pharmaceutical companies who've collaborated in this mess. This is quite a piece of work, and you can buy it on Amazon. I bought this online. So,
who holds those patents? It's just a whole lot of people.
The pharmaceutical companies. Anthony Fauci.
Fauci has some of them too, I think.
Plus, he also has shares and interest in the four major pharmaceutical companies that have created the vaccine.
You say hold stock in it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. An excellent point by Doug, and I would submit for your consideration, if you want to understand the why and the motive, who's going to benefit financially from all of this COVID? Pharmaceutical companies. There is your person right there.
Well, that's part of it. There are other interests, some of the globalists, Bill Gates, you know.
Absolutely.
They're not in it for the money. They have, you know, some other.
Follow the money trail.
Right. All righty. Well, Major Dave, have you got something that you would like to wrap up with? Any other information you'd like to share us? Are you due to go back before the legislature?
I am certain I will be back there. I do not have a date certain, a specific invitation, but there are numerous issues being worked. One of our legislative members has asked me to actually come up with a list of questions that should be asked of the state board to explain why these vote numbers keep changing. And just to give you a quick example, and why I believe they manufacture events to give cover to the data manipulation, is that at 9 o'clock on election night, Jim O'Neill, running for attorney general, had 312,000 votes from by mail ballot. Well, by noon on Wednesday the next day, he was down to 309,000, and by the canvas, he was down to 283,000. He lost over 25,000 votes from by-mail ballots that just disappeared out of his results.
Wow.
And we're told that it's because Randolph County mistakenly uploaded their one-stop early voting vote totals as having come from by-mail ballot. Okay? So at the canvas, they shift the votes from the by-mail column in the results file over to the one-stop. Well, that doesn't change the total number of votes he got. It just changes where they come from. And it doesn't explain two different decrements, one between 9 o'clock on election night and noon the next day, and then the other one, which actually when Randolph moved the numbers 10 days later at the canvas. So there's a lot of things that the Freedom Caucus wants to dig deeper into, but they know they need people like me there when they ask these questions so that we know they're not blowing smoke.
Right.
Because when they just say, well, Randolph had to move their ballots, most people would take that as a full explanation when it's far from it.
Well, Major Dave, I want to thank you for all the effort you have put into this. I know you work tirelessly night and day on it. You've put in many hours. We thank you here from CCTA.
You're here.
We thank you for joining us tonight for the show and sharing the information. And we look forward to seeing you soon. We've got you coming down sometime in July, and I'll get that announcement out, folks, to let everybody know. Doug. Yes, go ahead.
Rich, if I can just get 20 seconds, I just want to let people know, I do what I do because of you. You are the people out there on the ground who are investing your time, money, sweat, and tears in working so hard to get good candidates elected, and it is just unacceptable that somebody sitting at a keyboard can flip a few digits and make all of your efforts wasted efforts.
Absolutely.
So I'm there for you guys, and I'm trying to keep things honest so that you get an honest return for your investment of your time and labor.
Well, we sure appreciate that, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Major Dave.
Yep.
Okay, Doug, what have you got to share with us in a wrap-up?
Well, I think as I look at all this, the most astounding thing to me is how complicated and how widespread this conspiracy was. You mentioned the coronavirus. That's all related to the election.
Yes.
The there are global finance elements that are related to this. And if we trace the money, we will find that Dr. Fauci not only gave $3.7 million publicly out of his budget, but he money laundered another $3.7 million through a man I'm going to call a hack, Dr. Peter Daszak of a New York company, EcoHealth. And Daszak is the one who money laundered that. He went down in the caves in China with the Chinese researcher. I think her name was Xi Zhengli, and she's the director of the Wuhan Institute of Virology Lab where this work was done. And then you've heard a million times, oh, the coronavirus is a natural mutation. It couldn't possibly have been made in the lab. Well, that piece of information is a script that was written by Peter Daszak, the conspirator who illegally money laundered the money for gain-of-function work against the U.S. government's policy at the time. And then the World Health Organization sent a team in to investigate this virus, and guess who the only representative for the United States was? Peter Daszak.
Wow.
The conspirator who money laundered money to illegally create a bioweapon.
Hal?
I want to add that Mike Lindell says he plans to show proof that the election outcome was faked. And he also plans to file a lawsuit with the Supreme Court. So after this symposium, it's really going to be interesting to see what develops.
Right. I also would like to tell you that Mike Lindell is inviting all the representatives from Congress to be there. He's going to have a venue large enough to bring in all these representatives and judges, Supreme Court, everybody.
States, attorneys general, and other state officials.
Attorney generals, all of them. He's inviting them to come in and see the actual evidence, because mainstream media And corrupt politicians are telling you it's all malarkey. There is no evidence. There is no proof. We've audited. We've looked at it. We blah, 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 blah. Okay, you audited Arizona, and you were going to release the information on Monday. Well, you didn't release it. Why are you not releasing it? That you know, everything they're doing looks suspicious to me.
Amen.
So anyway, Mike Lindell, keep up with that. You can find him on YouTube and on the internet. He has his own channel there. So keep up with his announcement somewhere around the 4th of July of exactly when this symposium will be. And we'll keep up with it and keep you informed of it. All right. Doug, thank you for coming and sharing with us. Has anybody else got anything to add before we close down here?
I'd like to say that our monthly meeting in July will be a really exciting meeting, and want everybody to plan to be there, because we're going to be celebrating Freedom Day, Revolution. Pete's put together a great program. We'll have a Medal of Honor winner. We'll have a person who was reared in communist China. We'll have a very, very interesting program. It's going to be one of our best.
Good, good. Pete, you have anything to add to that?
No, sir. It's the spirit of 1776, a rebirth of faith, family, and freedom.
That sounds great. Folks, I want you to listen to that. A rebirth of faith, family, and freedom. That is exactly what this country needs at this time. It's through faith and family and freedom that we will restore our country back to what it used to be.
Thanks,
but it's going to take each and every one of you out there doing your part. So, folks, get off the couch, get busy, come to a CCTA meeting third Tuesday of every month, and join us in our grassroots activities to hold our elected officials accountable and to help to put in good candidates that will uphold the Constitution and live by the oath that they've taken. We don't have many of them, but they're growing in numbers, and we hope that this next election, we'll see quite a few more. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call, and visit our sponsors and tell them you heard about them here.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.